Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the destruction of Jerusalem as we pick up in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 4. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
It must have been an awesome and a very traumatic experience to have seen the destruction that was wreaked upon Jerusalem by the Babylonian army. When after 18 months of siege, they finally broke into the city and began to slay with a sword. Even before they broke the walls and came in, people were already starving to death within the city. It was a horrible scene. Jeremiah can't get it out of his mind, the thoughts and the sights that he saw. They were imprinted in his mind. And now as he sees it lying desolate, he reflects over these things. And he tells some of the things that were happening. And they are so horrible that they would make those kind of impressions in your mind that cause you to shudder whenever you think of them. And they are those mental images that you just can't seem to remove as you see the people starving to death, falling on the streets, faint, weak, once mighty people, once a proud people, but now so defeated and destroyed. The Lord was as an enemy. He swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all of her palaces. He has destroyed the strongholds. He hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. He hath violently taken away the tabernacle as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and the Sabbath to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord has cast off his altar. He has abhorred his sanctuary. He has given up in the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of the solemn feast. That is, the enemies were in there cheering and yelling and all as they were destroying it, much as the voices and cheers and all that once went up in the days of their solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore, he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languish together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are now among the Gentiles. There is no more law. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughters of Zion sit on the ground and keep silent. They have cast dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth, and the virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. And my eyes do fail because of the tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured out upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. It's almost more than he can bear. He sees these little children and little nursing babies fainting because of the lack of food. He sees them as they're swooning, just staggering through the streets. The young girls, their heads bowed down to the ground. The old men just sitting there staring blankly in sackcloth with dust. Dirt. They've just covered themselves with dirt, and there's no place to go. There's no hope. It's all gone. The little children say to their mothers, "Where is the corn and the wine?" When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. What things shall I take to witness for thee? What things shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea, and who can heal thee? Your prophets have seen vain and foolish things for you, and they have not discovered your iniquity to turn away your captivity, but they have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. All that pass by clap their hands at thee. They hiss and they wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Desolate, destroyed, ravaged city. Once the perfection of beauty, once the joy of the whole earth. And now it's being hissed at as people walk by clapping their heads and hands and shaking their heads. All of your enemies have opened their mouth against thee. They hiss, they gnash the teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day that we have looked for. We have found and we have seen it. The Lord has done that which he had devised. He has fulfilled his word that he commanded in the days of old. This God was faithful to his warnings. He had told them if they did not turn from their wickedness, if they did not turn from their idolatry, that he was going to bring their enemies against them and they would be destroyed. God has done that which he had purposed. He has fulfilled his word that he commanded in the days of old. He has thrown down. He's not pitied. He has caused your enemies to rejoice over thee. He has set up the horn of your adversaries, or the power of your adversaries. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eyes cease. He's calling them for intercession, to weep before God until God does a work again. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Isn't this enough, Jeremiah is saying, to challenge you to seek God? To seek God all night long. Look at your little children swooning in the streets. Pray for them that God will somehow work his work again among the people. They were living in an extremely desperate time, but they were not yet really desperate before the Lord. They were just plain desperate, but really not seeking God. You wonder, what will it take to cause men to really seek God? To really cry out. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My mom tells me how that one time when I was a little kid and I was sick, and she came in and to the bedroom and laid hands on me, and I was running a fever, and she prayed, oh Lord, touch Charles, you know, and heal him. And when she was through praying, I said to her, Mom, now pray like you really mean it. And I wonder how many times our prayers aren't just sort of perfunctory type of activities, you know. There's no real heart behind it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God said to Jeremiah, and in the day that you seek me with your whole heart, in that day I will be found of you. And Jeremiah is saying, hey, go for it. Cry in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up your hands toward him, at least for the life of the young children that are fainting for hunger on every street. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit, that is, the women eat their own little babies, which they were doing? Shall children be born who are only a span long, that the women were so malnourished that as their children were being born, they were only 7 or 8 inches long at birth? Horrible. Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? The young and the old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men are fallen by the sword. Thou hast slain them in the day of your anger. You have killed and not pitied. You have called as in a solemn day my terrors round about me, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escape nor remain. Those that I have swaddled and brought up hath my enemy consumed. In this third lamentation, he begins from the depth of depression and despair. He begins with hopelessness. And hopelessness is always the experience behind depression. Depression is the loss of hope. No way out. Nothing I can do. Hopelessness leads to depression. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. It seems like God has turned against the prophet. I have seen the wrath of God. God's brought me into darkness, not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He's turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He's built against me and encircled me with gall and travail. He has set me in dark places, and they that be dead of old. He's hedged me about that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. God isn't listening to my prayer. God seems to have closed every door of escape. There's no way out. I'm in the hole, and there's no place to go. I'm in this darkness. And God isn't listening to my prayers. It's like he has enclosed me with hewn stone. That is, he's built a wall around me. And he's made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He has turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me as a mark. I'm a target for God's arrows. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drunken with wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. You have removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Boy, that's about as low as you can get. That's the bottom. That's the pits. He's down just the bottom. And out of the depths of his despair and depression, suddenly there is a dramatic change. That dramatic change is explained, or the reason for it is explained in verse 21. In the midst of his hopelessness, in the midst of his despair, when it seems that all is forsaken, there is no way out, that God isn't even listening and God isn't ready to help me, in the midst of this place of total despair, he said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." He changed his whole mindset. The Bible speaks about our renewing our minds. The Bible speaks about our bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. And we can think ourselves into a miserable mood. We can think ourselves into despair and hopelessness. You can think yourself into the grave. Or by setting your mind upon the Lord, renewing your mind in Him, you can come into a whole new state of consciousness, no longer one of total despair and hopelessness, but one now of victory and hope. And that's what Jeremiah did. He changed the thought patterns from, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is the end. Oh, there is no hope. Oh, I've had it. Oh, there's no one to help. Oh, I'm boxed in. To thinking about the Lord. As we think about ourselves, we often become depressed. Because none of us are all of what we would like to be. We each of us have a divergence between our ego and our superego. The real me and the ideal me. All of you see yourself in an ideal way. This is what I really am, providing everything is, you know, all right. It's only because of these other factors that you see me like this. This nastiness isn't the real me. I'm very sweet and generous and kind and benevolent and loving and marvelous and a very lovable person. The person that you see is what has happened to me because of, you know, what you've done. But that's not the real me, you see, you know? And so there is this idealization, the ideal me, the superego, and then there's the real me. Now, if there is a vast difference between your superego and your ego, then you're going to have real problems of mental instability. The more well-adjusted a person is in measure to the distance between his ego and superego. If your ego is close to your superego, then you're a well-adjusted person. If there's a wide divergence between your ego and superego, then you're very maladjusted in your life. Now, the psychologist says, bring your superego down. You've got too high of ideals. You've got too high of standards. No one can live to those. You got to lower your ideals. The Lord says, bring your ego up. Through the power of the Spirit, through my help, become the person that I want you to be. Receive my strength, receive my ability, and I will make you that person that is pleasing and glorifying unto God, that person who is loving, who is kind, who is compassionate, who is filled with joy. So, he came to a change of mental attitude. No longer thinking about himself, but now thinking about the Lord. It made such a great difference. Oh, if we could only get our minds off of ourselves and onto the Lord. In the times of discouragement, in the times of defeat, in the times of depression, if we could only get our minds off of ourselves and onto the Lord, that's the secret of the way out. Rather than wallowing in this self-pity, just get our minds and hearts. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord, and God will keep you in perfect peace. Get your mind on yourself, and you're going to have all kinds of turmoil and depression. So when I recall to my mind, this I recall to my mind. What does he recall to his mind? First of all, it's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Things are bad, but they could be worse. It's God's mercies that we're still here. The fact that I wake up in the morning is proof that God is merciful. You see, God's under no obligation to keep me around. It's only by his mercies that I've not been consumed. Secondly, because his compassions fail not. In 1 Corinthians 13, as Paul is describing agape, he said, love never fails. God's love never fails. God has never stopped loving you. God does not love you when you are good and hate you when you are bad. God's love for you is unchanging. It doesn't fail. God's love is continually being poured out upon your life. God's love is not contingent upon what you are, but upon what he is. His compassions, they fail not.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the Book of Lamentations on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Lamentations 2 through 3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord work in your life this week in a special way. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as he trains, as he teaches, as he develops his work of love and grace within your life, as he prepares you for the future and for those things that he wants you to possess of his grace and of his glory. May the Lord strengthen you. Cause your life to be a witness for him, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As we look back over the roadmap of our lives, we often see the value of troubled times, personal trials, and even the experiences of pain or the death of a loved one. These are the building blocks that establish God's plan for us. It is with great honor that I'm pleased to introduce Pastor Chuck Smith's autobiography entitled A Memoir of Grace. You're invited to pull up a chair and listen as Pastor Chuck shares his personal story of how God's grace prepared him for life's purposes. Perhaps as you're reading this story, you'll be prompted to evaluate your own past, your present situation, and that which is yet to happen, and realize that it all plays a part in establishing God's plan for you. See God's grace at work in your own life when you order a personal copy of A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck.
God called me into the ministry and how God has just led us step by step.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll free at 1-800-272-WORD.